Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Give me a little smoke, Jesse. A little fog, a little something, a little laser light, so something. Your mom, where's your mom?
Hey, Mom, we got a new fog machine.
Yep. Oh, hallelujah. Christmas came. Hallelujah. Fog machine, laser lights. Well, welcome to church. It's a good place to have fun in church, right? If we don't have fun in church, where else are we going to have fun? We're probably going to go and find some other place where probably we should not be having fun there, and we're going to try to have fun there. So I would rather have fun here among brothers and sisters where I can be myself, and I do enjoy a little bit of smoke, and hallelujah, we got smoke. Hallelujah. There's actually a joke around this. The first time when we had this smoke machine going on, that's the second one. We just bought a brand new one. It's actually not called a smoke machine. This is called a haze machine. This is a step above the smoke, huh? You know, we got essential oils in this thing. So, hello, COVID. So not appropriate, sorry. Not appropriate. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Hallelujah. We don't have Kyler here today, and the rest of the crew, they actually gone to this basketball game. We are in the playoff right now in the Little Leagues, and today's this morning at 10 o'clock was the first game. If we win this, we go to the finals. So, little prayer for Elijah and his team. Hallelujah. They're going to hopefully do well. And that's what we're praying. So, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Today, as we set our eyes on Christmas, on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, I want to talk to you about appointed time. An appointed time. Now, what is an appointed time to you? In this season, we set aside time. We set aside appointed time to do our Christmas shopping. How many of you got that worked on already? Working on it? Yeah, I'm pretty much done. I like to be a little bit ahead, and went to Anchorage last week, and pretty much everything is done. So I'm excited about this. So you got to set appointed time to do things. You set appointed time with your family, with your friends. You set appointed time to even come to church. It's something that you plan on. And here you are this morning because you've set an appointed time to be here. Because timing is everything, right? Timing is everything in life. Timing can make the difference between a good joke and a bad joke, right? Timing is everything in life. Wise decisions are made because of timing, good timing. You can differentiate a good leader from a bad leader because of timing. A good leader is not just knowing what to do, but a good leader is knowing when to do it, right? So that timing is everything. How many of you got your Christmas tree up already? Oh, good job, guys. Yeah, Christmas tree. How many are struggling with this? I think a little bit of issue with the height there. There was a time in our living room upstairs in our house, we have a 13-foot Christmas tree. It is massive. It is so big that I have to take a rope from the top of the balcony and tie it to the end so that it doesn't go down when the kids are playing. And they play a little rough, so tree can come down. But yeah, it was like this when we first got it. It was curved a little bit. Then I found the ideal spot right in the middle of the living room. I'm like, it's kind of like in your face. It's like right there. It's like a mall Christmas tree. But at some point in time, it kind of looked like that a little bit. And I think we got anything else going on there? Oh, that's a Christmas tip for you parents. You know, how many of you have ever thought of doing that? That's a good one. That's a good one. And you know, just, yeah. We got another one? I'm planning on it. I'm planning on it that I'm going to see Lindsay. Lindsay, that's going to be your client. There's going to be many clients coming to see you this Christmas. So job security for you. You know, timing is everything. Did you know that God also will look for the right time to do something? Because God has an appointed time to do something. Something that we see now openly. And something that even you could see in your own life. That there was a timing for something to happen in your life. Timing is everything. God did not do something in your life last year for a reason. Maybe you're sitting here like, Lord, what happened? Did I miss something? But God knows exactly what he's doing. He's not bound by the way that you and I, we measure time. We measure time totally differently from God. Because God exists outside of the scope of our measurement of time. God can be in the past, in the present, and he can be in the future all at the same time. So we can't measure time the same way that God measures time. He's got appointed time for everything. He's always looking for the right time. So in Galatians chapter 4, starting with verse 4, this is probably, say if somebody out on the street asks you the meaning of Christmas. If you get asked that question, that would be a good one to know. That would be a good one to know because it summarizes everything about why Jesus came. Because out of this scripture right there, it actually symbolizes the meaning of the coming of Christ when he came the first time. Why did he come? Because we get this question a lot of times. Why did Jesus come? Well, here it is. But when the time, the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us, who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent also the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So, not only did Christ come to buy us freedom, which he did, that's what we just celebrated right now through us taking the communion, we celebrated freedom. But beyond freedom, Christ came so that we can be children, so that we can belong to a family. Christmas time, family is important, right? Everything is centered around family. But you belong to Christ's family. You belong to God's family first. That's the real meaning of Christmas. We belong to a family already. You can be here alone and yet not be alone. Because you belong to Christ's family. That's the real meaning of Christmas. In Galatians, we read about this there. But it says, when the right time came. I think this is very important. When the right time came. Because it indicates that God was waiting for the right time. God was waiting for the right time. What a concept. What a concept, right? God is waiting. Because when we think about waiting, we think about us waiting. But we never think about God waiting. But here, God is waiting for the right time. the right time. Now you can say, how is that so? Because Pastor, you just said that God is not bound by the concept of time. If he's not bound by the concept of our time, why did he have to wait? Why did God wait over 2,000 years before he sent Christ? Why? I mean, that's a fair question. Well, I got a good answer for you. I don't know. I don't know. He is God, and I'm not him. I just don't know. What I do know is this. 2 Peter 3:8. One day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. And 1,000 years is like a day. I use this scripture all the time when my kids will come to me and say, hey, Dad, what about science? Science is saying this. So many billion years old and the dinosaurs and everything else. Well, parents, guess what? That's a good one. That's a good one to know. You can pull that out anytime. Well, let me tell you, son. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. God has a different way, a different measurement of time. We call our time chronos, right? It's tick-tock, chronos. God doesn't measure time by chronos. God measures time by chronos, outside of chronos, within chronos, but he measures time also outside of it called kairos. A kairos time is God-appointed time, the right time. The right time for him to do something miraculous. He waited because the Christmas clock started ticking, not just here. The clock started ticking, not with the birth of Christ. The clock started ticking in Genesis when sin came. That's where the clock, the Christmas clock, started to tick. But here, at the birth of Christ, something else happened. God interrupted time. God interrupted time, I would say one more time, but I would be theologically inaccurate. Because God has interrupted time before. If you look at the book of Joshua chapter 10, he did. He stopped the sun. I mean, right up there here, held the sun. The sun did not move. I would be theologically inaccurate if I leave it just to that one time. Look at the story of Ezekiah. God turned back the clock in 2 Chronicles. God turned back the clock on the life of Ezekiah. But here, God interrupted time again. I would say the Christmas story begins with God's interruption of time. In fact, God reset the calendar based on the birth of his son. We measure time, measure our calendar, the years on AD, right? AD, BC and AD. BC is before Christ. AD is not what a lot of people might think, it's after the death of Christ. No. AD is Anno Domini, which is the year of the Lord. Latin for the year of the Lord. So when we are celebrating 2021 and now 2022, the proper way of saying it is the year of our Lord 2022. So right now is the year of our Lord 2021. Even the way that we measure or we count the years is defined by the birth of Christ. Can we not say that Jesus did something miraculous to change interrupted time and reset the clock and everything is counted from his birth on? That's pretty amazing. the story of Christmas now that we're going to get ready to read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. He talks about pretty much an interruption of time, an interruption of plans, an interruption of agenda, an interruption of Christmas shopping, an interruption of an engagement, an interruption of a wedding. It started with an interruption. And I'm going to read it, and I'm sure that you're going to see the interruption in the story that I'm going to read about Mary, about Joseph. And throughout this week, that's what we're going to be focusing on, right? We're going to focus about Jesus. We're going to cater every one of our messages around the birth of Jesus, what it means to us. And this morning, it's probably something that you've never heard before. The birth of Jesus is around an interruption? Absolutely. It's an interruption of something that was happening. And God said, I'm resetting it. I'm reorganizing things. And he's going to start with the birth of my son. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, who was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. All of these are very powerful things that we're reading right there. They're all so meaningful. Hopefully, throughout the course of this few weeks, we're gonna dive into this and know exactly why. Why was it Mary? Why was it a descendant? Why was Joseph a descendant of King David? All of these are very meaningful. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. She was confused. She was disturbed. You would be too. I mean, if an angel shows up right now, and I tell my kids that the other night, Micah was having a little bit of a struggle going to sleep. He's thinking about all kinds of stuff that can happen that will not be happening. You kids do that? Like, oh, I'm just scared because this can happen. So I had to explain the type of God that we serve, the type of angels that are around us. Because, you know, sometimes when we get a concept of an angel, guess what we think? A little bitty floating angel right there with a little bow and arrow like coming. An angel is not like that. Yeah. Oh, no. An angel is massive. An angel is pretty big. And explain to my kid that this angel is bigger than our house. What? Bigger than our house? Yeah. He's bigger than our house. And we got several of these angels around our house. There's nothing to fear. Oh, yeah. Went to bed right away. I mean, this is it. I mean, an angel shows up, knocks on the door of Mary and said, "Mary, highly favored woman." First of all, what? What was that? And that's why I say, what manner of greeting is this? Some dude shows up at your house, knocks on the door and say, "Highly favored man." Like, what's up, dude? You know, how you doing? But this is a little bit different. Back in those days, man don't just come and knock on people's door. That's why Mary said, what manner of greeting is this? Why would you be calling me highly favored? So she was confused. And why did God wait? In this most important time of her life, she's engaged. She's getting married. And here comes this news. God has an appointed time to do something. He has a timetable to do something in your life. And guess what? He's not sharing that with us. He's got a timetable. He's got an appointed time for everything in your life. And guess what? He's not going to tell you. He's not going to tell you anything. He's not going to tell you when. He might not even tell you how. But is he going to do it? Absolutely. What he says in his word, what he says and he promises to you, he will do it in his time, in his appointed time. And in fact, it says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. When we do ask God about, Lord, what's going on here? Why is this thing not happening? And he says, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and what? Times. Those dates and those times are set by the Father. And they are not for you to know. I mean, how clear can God be? It is not for you to know. The undertext is like, the subtext is this. It is not your business. It's as simple as that. God is saying it's not your business to figure out the times, the dates. You just have to just listen. I can give you many reasons why God doesn't release that kind of information to us. Many reasons. Give you two of them right now is if you, it will freak you out. That's a good one. That's a pretty good one. If God told you today what he will do in your life, even tomorrow, it will freak you out. And if you knew everything that was going to happen according to God's timetable, wouldn't you want to change a few things around? Wouldn't you want to negotiate a little bit with God? Lord, Kodiak, no. Can you hold that off a little bit? I got a little bit of kids, Lord. Can you just do it a little bit later on when they're actually like, I don't know, 20, 21, you know, when they're no longer here? I mean, I can be free. I can do whatever I want. You are not going to know the details. And it's for good reason. It's for your safety. You've watched Back to the Future. Are you old enough to know this? Back to the Future. I mean, if you're old enough, like me, we know what Back to the Future is. You know, there's a whole lot of mess that can happen if you can go back to the future, if you knew what the future was going to look like. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know. Lord, let me know what I need to know when I need to know it. That's it. And that's good enough. And that's his appointed time. It requires us to surrender to him to know this or to be able to do it. Lord, just don't need to know. Please don't tell me. Please don't tell me. I don't need to know. It's like Christmas presents. She's looking at me like, I used to do it. Seriously, I got to confess. I used to search the house. I used to do that. I've repented. I don't do it anymore. I promise I don't do it. I used to go around and dig for stuff. I'm like, I need to know. I need to know. I need to know what it is. What are we getting? But I've stopped. This time around, I don't do anything at all. I mean, I just don't. I wrap presents. Isaiah, on the other hand, is guilty. Is guilty since last week because I was in Anchorage and he actually opened up the box and he's like, Dad, these are the wrong speakers. I'm like, how do you even know? So anyway, I've forgiven him, but I told him, yeah, seriously, presents might not be coming at all because you violated a big law right there. Because I repented, so I've got room to talk. I can actually say, no, you may not do this. But anyway, so there are certain things that we rather not know. We move on to verse 30. It says, don't be afraid, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. And he will be very great. And you will be and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this be? How can this happen? I am a virgin. Here's the timing of God. His appointed time will not make sense to us. It might even seem that his appointed time is an interruption to our plans. That's the way it is. Think about the major interruption in Mary and Joseph's life. They're about to get married. They didn't even get to the wedding day. I mean, I'm gauging for the kids that are here. They had no sex, but a baby on the way. And not just any baby. The Son of God. Imagine raising the Son of God. I mean, raising five kids is, you know, it's not easy. Jesse and Sarah would know that it's not easy. But here, raising your first child, I mean, your first child is your trial child. I mean, this is where you learn on the job. You're learning on the job on how to do this thing. This is how we operated for several years, man. I mean, we learn on the job on how to do it. Jesus, hallelujah. The Son is right there and he made it. He made it. I mean, he's shaken a little bit, but he made it. He made it. But here we're talking about the Son of God. It's not like she did not know, oh, here comes a baby there, and take care of it, and at the end you're going to figure out the Son of God. From day one, I mean, the baby was not even moving right here. Son of God is in there. I mean, imagine the pressure. Imagine the pressure. God did not ask permission. Well, he did. But it wasn't like they had a notice. It's not like they had to go to child raising preparation class 101. There was none of that. She had to learn how to deal with this important responsibility. There was an interruption to her plans. And a major interruption in terms of what she wanted to do in her own life. I mean, maybe she wanted not to be a stay-at-home mom. Maybe she wanted to get a job somewhere. Who knows? But there was a major interruption in her plans. Have you ever had an encounter with God where God interrupted what you wanted to do in your own life? Some of you are here in Kodiak because there was an interruption to your plan. Your plans were to go to Florida. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if you're in the Coast Guard, I mean, you're probably saying, you know, Jesus, Lord, away from this place. And here you are. An interruption to your plans. In my life, there's been many interruptions to my plan. It started with me getting interrupted by God in a pub. And I'm glad that interruption came. It was in 1996 when that first interruption. I didn't even know that God could interrupt you. Now I'm saying, Lord Jesus, bring the interruptions. Because I love it. Because the interruption is not just an interruption. It's an invitation. What we see in our own natural mind as an interruption to our plan, it's really an invitation from God where he can lead you, take you to places that you would never dream of. Here you are in Kodiak, sitting right here, looking all snazzy. Snazzy, is that a good word to say? Yeah, spiffy. That's not even a good word to say. It's British words. Oh my gosh. So, you're looking pretty good. Okay, here you are in Kodiak, Alaska. And here I am in Kodiak, Alaska. I had no idea that in 1999, God would interrupt my life again. 1996, 1999, God took me all the way from London, England to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Interruption, a major interruption. But looking back, day one I landed, man. I mean, it was cold. I mean, if you lived in Oklahoma, there's winds that would come across the plains. It was bitter cold. And guess what? I had not a single winter gear. I did not want to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I want to be back home. Because before I went there, I spent 6 months on the beach in Mauritius. Most beautiful life. But God said, are you going to stay true to the interruption or the invitation to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma? I was like, Lord Jesus, just bring it. And I ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Major interruption. Then came another major interruption was Dawn came along. Interrupted every one of my plans. My plans were to actually finish what I needed to finish quickly so I can leave and go back home. Never went back home. Well, I did. We went back home to visit, but the plans changed. An invitation from the Lord came. And then here I am. In 2015, we left Anchorage and we came here. Many, many stops along the way. But every one of them was led by God. That's an invitation. I believe this Christmas, and I'm praying this for you guys, on this very first Sunday of Christmas, I'm praying that God will send you many interruptions. Many interruptions, so much so that's going to disrupt your natural flow. It's a good thing. I promise, it's a good thing when God comes in and interrupts your flow, your way of doing things. Because guess what? He's got a better way of doing things. He's got a better way of rearranging your life and bring order according to his standard. Because what we define as order in our life, it probably is not order. Probably it's more, I want to be controlling. I want to control everything. But God said, no, control starts with you surrendering to me. When you release what you can control in your own strength, I can step in and do what needs to be done. So I am praying that there will be major interruptions in your life starting this Christmas. In verse 35, it says, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son, and now in a 6th month. Now he has an appointed time for God to do something. And here, verse 37, it says, for the word of God will never fail. That's something that we can hold on to. The word of God will never fail. Because God's timing is always perfect. Always perfect. God is never late and he's never early. He's always on time because there's always a right time for him to do something in your life. I want you to listen to Mary's response because that's really the key. That's really the key to everything that we just now read. Mary responded and said, I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant. May everything, you have said about me come true. She released everything, all her plan. She surrendered that to God. And the moment she said that, the angel left. That's exactly how God does it. The moment you surrender to him, there's a release. There's a freedom that comes in. That number one, you know that you are doing the right thing. You might not know all the outcome. You would not know. God would not tell you because he will freak you out. He won't tell you. But if you trust him by surrendering your plans to him, saying, Lord, I don't get it. I don't get it. But I'm trusting you. I'm releasing my plans unto your hands. And I want your perfect timing in it. That's it. This is the freedom that you need. This is the freedom that I need when I don't understand what to do or when to do it. Jesus, I have no idea. And that's a good place to start. I have no clue. I don't know how to fix this problem. I don't know. I just don't know. At that moment when you say you don't know, you open the door for the Holy Spirit to do something in you. Give you some kind of wisdom that normally you would not have. That's how the Spirit of God moves and operates in people's life. It starts with a surrender. When you surrender to Him and you say, do it unto me according to your word. According to what you've already said. According to your promise. Some of you got promises from God that you can put a date on it all the way back 10 years ago. God hasn't forgotten about you. He has not. When God is saying you're waiting for Him, you're waiting for that appointed time, and you are in God's, let me call it God's waiting room. God has a waiting room, by the way. He sends you in that waiting room every time when He says, not yet. Wait a while. See, a delay with God is not a denial. A delay with God is waiting on the right time to be able to release something in your life. If you release it anytime sooner, guess what? It will destroy you. You might not even be ready for it. God delays things in our life so that we can be ready to receive the miraculous. Mary was not ready prior to this conversation with angel Gabriel. She was not. She was ready at the moment when the angel showed up. And yet again, there needed to be a handshake right there. Because when the angel showed up, the angel did not just come in and barge in. The Holy Spirit will never do that in your life either. He's waiting on you to respond, to surrender. That's the best response that you can give to the Holy Spirit, is to yield to Him. To yield to Him by saying, I don't get it, but I trust you. I trust you. The moment you surrender, that's where you accept that invitation. That invitation to transform that interruption and turn it into an invitation from God Himself. I believe this Christmas you're going to have at least 4 presents under the tree. I really believe that. I really believe that this Christmas, you're going to have 4 presents under the tree with your name on it. And one of those presents is going to be this. And these are actually tools. How many of you had, I know Dawn did, she lived on a farm, and part of her Christmas present were hammer and tools and all that stuff because they needed job work to do on the farm. Is that, am I saying it right? I want to be accurate in my description. I don't want to add anything to what is not really true. But I know there was a time where all they got for Christmas was tools, hammers and nails and drills and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm giving you here is going to be tools that you will need in your life. Something that you will need in the year to come, in the years to come. The number one is this: fear not. The very first thing that the angel said was fear not. Fear not simply means trust God. Trust God. When the angel showed up and said fear not, or don't be afraid, the angel was not saying, trust in me. The angel was saying, trust in God. The moment you say, I'm not going to fear. At that moment, you said, you know, I'm putting my trust in my God. My God can do all things. And I'm putting my trust in Him. He can supply all the needs that I have. I'm putting my trust in Him. I need healing in my life. He is my healer. I'm putting my trust in Him. I need peace. He's my God of peace. I'm putting my trust in Him. Fear not means trust in Him. And to access God's appointed time, We must put our trust in Him. Otherwise, there is no handshake between you and the Holy Spirit. There is no, do it unto me according to your words. Let it be done unto me. I'm accepting whatever you want me to do. There needs to be a trust. That's why you establish that handshake between you and the Holy Spirit. I trust you. See, we shake hands on deals that we make. You know why we're doing that, the handshake? I trust you. I trust your word. Back in the days, we used to do a lot of deals by just doing this. A lot of million of dollars were established at that moment where we did a handshake. The same is with the Holy Spirit. When you do that handshake with the Holy Spirit, is you accepting what He wants to do in your life. Mary did it when she said, be it unto me according to your word. She took that handshake from the Holy Spirit and said, do it unto me. That's trust. That means I'm not going to fear. In Psalm 31, verse 14, it says this. And I want you to remember this. Because then you would trust the times in the hands of God. It says, but I trust in you. Lord, I say. It starts with you saying it. Lord, I trust in you. Sometimes we find this is the easiest prayer. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I trust in you. You are my God. Start there. Lord, I trust you. You are my God. My times are in your hands. That means my calendar, my agenda, my plans. I have surrendered them to you. You are my God. Number two is fret not. Fret not. Fret not means don't worry. Don't worry. Fret not means be patient. Wait and trust. They go hand in hand. Wait and trust. Fret not also means don't compare yourself to someone else. This is where the worry comes in. Because when you start worrying, where you're in God's waiting room and you're waiting there because you know God put you there, but then you start looking around. How come Susie got promoted? Lord, you know I've been praying about this promotion or any kind of promotion, Jesus, for a long time. This person got promoted. Oh, I've been praying for healing for all my life. I mean, I've been struggling with this. This person over there got healed. And we start comparing. We start comparing our situation, our marriage, our situation in life, our kids with other kids. We start comparing. We start doing this comparison. And that's dangerous. This is where the worry comes in. Because we start to compare. And we don't want to wait and we don't want to trust. The spirit of pride comes in. We are no longer humble. In Psalm 37 verse 7 he says, wait and trust the Lord. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't worry. When others prosper, all their dishonest plans succeed. And don't get angry or upset. Guess what? It only leads to trouble. When you worry and you start comparing, guess what you're doing? You're troubling your soul for no reason. You're troubling the peace. Don't worry. Don't fret. Trust God. Wait. Wait on God's appointed time. Mind you, when I'm saying wait, I'm not saying just sit on your hands and do nothing. That's not waiting. Waiting is doing everything that God wants you to do. It's like if you're going to this very fancy restaurant where a server will come and wait upon you. Where that server is coming in, maybe it's this. Hope it's clean. The server comes in. I'll get this right. And he's waiting upon you. He's waiting upon you to actually make a move. Usually if you go to a fancy restaurant, you take a sip out of your water. He's right there. He's waiting on you. When you wait upon the Lord, your eyes are on him. Where he's moving, you're moving. He goes there and he's doing something there. You're right there. You're like this waiter, ready to serve, ready to do whatever he wants you to do. That's waiting upon God. Show up at church. That's a good one. Be here, serving in the church, doing something. That's serving. That's you waiting upon God. A lot of times we're waiting upon God, we're sitting where we don't belong. We're sitting in a seat that we are not meant to occupy. God wants you to wait upon him in the seat that is called for you to occupy. This is where you stop comparing yourself with somebody else who is occupying another seat. Where you sit there, you do everything that God wants you to do while you're occupying that seat. At that moment, you've earned a seat at the table of the King. Regardless of anything, you being a child of God is all that you need to sit at the table of this King. That's it. A lot of time we overcomplicate this thing. We think that we need a title before our name for us to occupy a seat at the table of the King. I want you to remember Galatians 4:4. We read, we opened up with this. You qualify as you being a child of God. That is the reason why Jesus came. For your freedom, so that you can sit as a child of God at the seat of the King. So this Christmas, I want you to remember that you have a seat with the King of Kings. And at that seat, you're ready to listen and to pay attention to whatever the King is saying. You're ready to serve. You're ready to do what the King wants you to do. And that's waiting upon God. At that position, you're not fretting. Because nobody's coming to steal your seat. Nobody's coming in and saying, oh, you move. At home, we have very limited seat. We have a house full of people. So the moment somebody's moving off the couch, somebody else is coming in and claiming it. Does that happen in your house? When you're watching TV, you move, you go to the bathroom and somebody else came. Come on, this is my seat. Like your seat. Does that happen in your house? Some people are like, yeah, we're going to come and take his seat. Well, no, nobody's going to come and sit my seat. But guess what? When you're sitting at the seat of Christ, at his table, nobody's watching to take your seat. Your seat has your name on it. Has your name on it. This is the seat that you need to occupy. So don't fret. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Number three, forget not. Forget not. Don't forget. Don't forget. James 1:25. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quickly. I got a basketball game to go to. We don't? Oh no, we lost. Okay, well, that's it then. Okay, I'm just kidding. Forget not. Forget not. James 1:25 says, if you look closely into God's perfect word that sets people free, you will keep studying it. And you don't forget it. You will keep studying and you don't forget it. And you will put it into practice daily. You will be blessed by God in all you do. Forget not is a process. Forget not is a process. It starts with you reading it. And I'm talking about reading the Word of God. It starts with you reading it. Then it moves on to you studying it. This is where you take the Word of God beside you reading it. This is where you grab a pen. Or a pencil. Or a marker. Or something. When you're studying, it's like, ooh, I like that. Ooh, that's good. Pastor Shannon said this. Oh, you write a little word. Oh, he said that. We talked about it. You put a little. This is you studying. You're not just reading it. You're studying it. And then guess what? The next part is remembering it. Because when you start studying, you start remembering scriptures. You start knowing what the Word of God is saying. And you start quoting it. And guess what? You put it into practice. Because guess what? When the enemy is coming and you're at work and something really bad happens, when you're being squeezed by something, life, you got the Word in you that you've read, that you've studied, that you've remembered, and that you put into practice. Being squeezed and the Word of God coming out of you is you putting it into practice. So what comes out when you are squeezed? I don't want to know. I hope it's the Word of God. I hope it's the Word of God. If not, come and see me. There are over 6,000 promises in our Bible that God written just for you. Number four is faint not. Faint not means don't quit. Don't give up. Faint not means move forward. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Galatians 6:9 says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. Here's that word again. We started with that word in Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to end with this. At just the right time. God has got an appointed time for you. It's called just the right time. That's on his calendar that you and I were not privy to. But it's there. There is one spot on God's calendar for you that says just the right time. And it's got your name on it. Just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Would you please stand? I mean, the prayer that I have for you is very simple. I'm praying that God will come and interrupt every one of your plans this Christmas. I know that sounds crazy. Sounds like it's a crazy prayer. But along with that interruption comes an invitation for God to do something that only He can. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You've set time. You've set time aside this morning just to be with us, Your children. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You came and You visited us this morning. If there's anyone here that does not know You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that even now, that Holy Spirit, that You will draw that person right now. That is the greatest gift that You can have this Christmas is a relationship with the King. That's your seat at the table. If you're here this morning and you do not have a relationship with this King, this Savior, now is the time. All it takes is you to acknowledge Him, for you to make that handshake with the Holy Spirit saying, I'm in. I'm in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm not holding back. Jesus, forgive me of my past. Forgive me of where I've been. I want to start new with you. As simple as that could be your prayer this morning. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need to start fresh. Lord, I need a reset in my life. I need you to turn back the clock on my life. God can do it. He's done it many times. And He can do it certainly in your life today. He wants to welcome you as part of His family this morning. For those who are watching online, same thing. There is no distance between us and God. That's why He sent His Son to bridge in that gap between us and God the Father. I believe the Holy Spirit is right there where you are, ministering to each and every one of you right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, as we go, we are blessed. We go because we are conquerors because of the blood. We are more than conquerors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please be here in the next few weeks. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I want to take the time to invite you also for our Christmas banquet on the 17th. Come, come, come.